says, which helps. Thanks.
So the reading is from Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So, as I said earlier at the start, my desire and my prayer for us this year is that we focus on connecting this year, that we connect more with one another, and connect more with God. And so I want that to be a theme that runs through our year as a church together. And today I want to start thinking about that in terms of three words that kind of related to connecting: connection, communication, and communion. And we're going to take communion as a sign of that, as a symbol of our intent this year to connect more with God and to connect more with one another. And a connection seems to me the beginning of a relationship, beginning of something. You need to connect to make a phone call, don't you? Connection is kind of linking or associating with something. And I guess for the wise men, if we think about them, I wonder what their first connection was with God. At what point do they begin this journey that they go on? And as we've heard in the story, you know, it seems to be a star. It seems to be literally a star appearing, and they were obviously looking for something, and they were astronomers. They would have been studying the night sky, and so there would have been something else wrapped up within that, probably, in terms of they were anticipating, they were looking for something, and that's worth us reflecting on when we think about connecting with others, and maybe even those that aren't currently in the church, those that currently don't know God. You know, are they searching? Are they looking for God? And in what way are they doing that? Once we've connected, we need that communication. We develop a relationship by beginning to communicate. And that's what I think, I'm sure, the wise men would have been doing. They would have been mulling over, what does this mean? What is this star? What is its significance? You know, I'd be surprised if they dropped everything and began hurtling towards this star from the beginning. I mean, the journey was significant. It's about 9 months travel. It was over 1,000 miles at least. So there must have been a time when that searching became a discussion, a discussion amongst themselves, maybe even praying, I don't know, but seeking God and mulling over what this means. We need to bear in mind that they weren't followers of Israel. They weren't Israelites. They didn't have a faith in God at all, necessarily. But they would have been intrigued by that, been captured by this star, and maybe rumors that had been passed down. It's not fact, but there would have been rumors around. If you read through the Old Testament, there's some really interesting stuff in there. I mean, John will be, he will spend hours chatting about this, I'm sure. There are people like Balaam in Numbers. If you want to look up the story of Balaam and the angel, you probably also know the story of the donkey that talks to Balaam. But he's an interesting guy. He's not a Christian. He's a pagan. And in fact, he's almost a sorcerer who is for hire. And he used to go and curse nations. And the king hires him to go and curse Israel. And he actually finds he can't. He ends up blessing Israel. But he's an interesting guy. He actually prophesies, if you want to call it that, that there will be a king, a star that rises out of Jacob, are his actual words. Really interesting little snippet, almost. And you wonder whether the wise men might have heard these stories, these myths going around. They would obviously also have been looking at the night sky. And for all intents and purposes, apparently there was a lot of weird stuff going on in the sky between about 2 BC and 2 AD. Really interesting constellation changes and so on. And again, they would have been studying that and thinking about it and communicating with one another. A part of our job as the church is to communicate with those that are searching, to talk to them, to reflect on what they're seeing, what we're seeing, and engage with those that are searching. And then finally we get to this moment of communion. And for the wise men, it would have been a dramatic moment. You know, the moment of kneeling at Jesus' bed and looking upon this face, this child, who is God. And we're told that they end up worshipping him. It's an extraordinary journey if you consider the fact that they were pagans. They were, you know, part of a cult or whatever, not thinking about God, certainly not as a person, and yet they end up at the foot of Jesus' bed worshipping him. An extraordinary moment of communion. So what do we know about them? We've kind of tried to guess. We know that there weren't three. The word magos is the Greek word used in Matthew. Magos is Greek for king. It's not Greek for king. It basically means a magician. It's kind of like a magi. And as I've said already, it appears a few places in the Bible. Does anyone, apart from John, know maybe where it comes? Anyone remember a story in the Old Testament maybe where there's magi? So there's a bit in Daniel. If you remember the story of Daniel, Daniel ends up in Babylon in exile. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king, asks all the wise people in Babylon to interpret his dream. And that's where we get this word magi from, interestingly. It's a Greek word. So before you say, hang on a minute, the Old Testament is written in Hebrew. We get it from the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible. That's where this word is used. And it's a people that were diviners. They were sorcerers, even. And in fact, we come across magi a couple of times in the New Testament, and they're not nice people. They're not followers of God at all. In Acts 8, and then again in Acts 13, we come across these people. Simon the sorcerer, it's a good name, isn't it? And Bar-Jesus. Both of these people are described as sorcerers and used with this word magi, magos. So whatever we think about these three, 12, however many there were, these wise men, we know that they were not Christians, as we would describe them now. They're not seeking God. They were from a very different culture to Israel. They were not worshippers of God. And yet from this short passage, we get this incredible image of God as king, as God as king, king of Israel, king of the Jews, but actually, more significantly, I want to suggest, king of creation, because the story impacts this culture from thousands of miles away. I mean, you might argue that what business did they have? What are they doing in our nativity scene? Our lovely, tidy nativity scene, which is there. What are these people doing there if they didn't believe in God, if they didn't follow God? And I want to challenge us this morning about our attitude to others, others that are different to us. You know, people from other cultures, people from other religions. We are very tidy with our religion sometimes, particularly within the Church of England. We can be very judgmental about others' beliefs, even if they're searching for God. But God does not always fit our expectations. God surprises us all the time. And God uses people even who are unbelievers. And I want to ask us that question. Is he just our God? Is he just the God of the Anglicans or the Western world? He's the God of creation. And he reveals that in this story, I think. He reveals that he is what everyone needs. And there are people who are seeking God. And so we must not do this religious thing that we tidy up God and we tidy up Jesus and we tidy up the Nativity and say it's just relevant to us, to our materialistic Western world. I've been struck by Desmond Tutu over the last week, and his obviously lots of wonderful quotes have come from Desmond Tutu. He controversially wrote a book called God is Not a Christian. I don't know what you think about that statement, and I'm not going to delve into it now, but, you know, it's enough to wake us up and think, hang on a minute, this is an archbishop in the Anglican Church, with the Anglican Communion at least, saying that. But I just want to read a quote out from him, because it makes us reflect on our attitude to others, and particularly others that might be searching for God. He says this: our failure to recognize the humanity in others lays the foundations for selfishness rather than selflessness. It leads to gross inequality and hideous disparities in qualities of life, and often the degradation of environments in which relatively poor people live. A world that recognizes the equal worth and vulnerabilities of all its people will be a much more peaceful place. So again, I want to challenge us. How often do we assume that God must think like us? God would do the things that we would do. He would conform to our way of thinking. Because here, God deliberately uses people that are not the norm. He offends our religious sensitivity, you might say, using pagan foreign astrologers. So let's not put God in a box. And let's begin 2022 being more open-minded, more alert to the fact that people are searching for God. They might not fit the tidy picture of someone who is searching for Jesus in our religious way. Don't get me wrong. God is Jesus. Jesus is God. You know, we are talking about the God of the Christian faith. And ultimately, we need to lead people to Jesus. But we're also called to be sensitive to other cultures and other needs. So just as we reflect on that story, I just want you to put yourself maybe in the picture of the wise men searching. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're searching. Maybe you're looking. And just be encouraged that as you search, you will find. Knock and the door will be open, God says. But also as a church, we're called to be the star. We're called to be those that reveal God and draw God closer. And what we're going to do now is we're going to respond by taking communion. We're going to respond by reaffirming our faith and reaffirming our trust in God. And we're going to do it very simply. I've got some raisins for the young people. I've got some wafers and some wine. I'm going to dip the wafer into the wine so it's combined, and you're just going to receive it with open hands like that. And if you're a believer in Jesus, if you would say you're a Christian, then please receive. And if you'd rather not, then if you just stay in your seat, and then we'll pray for you from the front. But if you're a young person and you want to come and receive, I'm going to hand you a pack of raisins as a symbol, a sign of God's love for you as well. So there's a couple of options there. I'm hoping I'm going to get some help in terms of administering. Just to bring you to the front, we're going to stand at the front by the rail, and I think the band will come up. So if I serve the band first, and then they can play quietly while we receive. But while we do that, let's just take our service sheets out. I'm hoping you've all got a sheet. If you haven't got a sheet, if you just wave your hand in the air.